This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Oh, good afternoon. Get your drinking shoes and socks on. It is 5 minutes past one. I will be back very shortly with the gorgeous Adam Cash and a mystery box of guests here on My Last Cravings for a little while here on Joy 94.9. Yes, we are talking cravings because we do this every Saturday at 1 o'clock, 6 minutes past one. Hello, Pete Dillon, with you right through now until 2 o'clock, and it's a mixed bag of talent today here on the show. We're covering a whole bunch of stuff. I have the very lovely Adam Cash in the studio from Union Dining. Adam, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter.
And it's nice to have you back.
Oh, it's wonderful to be back here in Radio Land.
And we can talk all things industry because there's a lot going on. There's always something going on in this business, and it seems to be getting busier and busier.
Definitely, yes.
Very shortly, we'll also speak to Katrina Myers from Byram Avocados. Now, if you thought you could have everything delivered to your door, which you can, your milk, your bread, your veggies, all of that, you can now have avocados delivered to you. Winter avocados grown just up on the Murray River. All very sustainable and lovely. Katrina will join us very shortly on the phone. Also this week, something that did hit my inbox that disturbed me a little was one of our favourite restaurant friends, Sean Kearse, who we know does a lot. He and his partner Ingrid do a lot for the industry as far as supporting charities and all that sort of stuff. They're two venues. They were hit with a very large bill for playing music. And I want to explore that with you, Adam, as well, about what sort of music you play in the restaurant and how you get around paying exorbitant fees.
Yeah, certainly.
So we'll talk to Sean a bit later as well. Philippa Sibley, the very gorgeous Philippa Sibley, who we love and adore on this show. We'll speak to her not long before 2 o'clock just to talk about a dinner that she's involved with, Melbourne versus Sydney.
Ah, that old chestnut.
Oh, yes, that old chestnut, which is for the Mental Health Research Institute. The likes of Ben Shuri, Andrew McConnell from here in Melbourne, Peter Gilmore and others, Justin North in Sydney. So we've got a belting lot to get through, but the reason that Adam Cash is joining me, apart from we love having him in and he knows everything that's going on in the biz, Adam, you've launched an interesting project, I guess, at Union Dining to showcase emerging artists.
Yes, we have. It's called 2 Years on the Wall.
Yep.
So when we first looked over the building, we only opened about a year and a half ago. When we first looked over the building, we found this very bare outdoor wall, blank wall, a blank canvas. And we thought, oh, we should put something on there, maybe a bit of art, a mural.
Some graffiti.
We just looked at each other and thought, let's do a mural competition. Mm. So that was really, it took a little while to put together, but we have a fantastic relationship with Tarawarra,
yep.
And so they're the major sponsor.
So Tarawarra, we should state, are a Victorian winemaker.
Yeah, in the Yarra Valley. Mm-hmm. So their winemaker, Claire Halloran, is one of the judges.
She's a delight.
She has been making fantastic Chardonnay and Pinot at Tarawarra for years.
Mm. And so she's a good bird.
She's fantastic.
Yes.
No, and we were really thrilled when they said that they'd support the venture.
So they're paying essentially prize money and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
For it.
Yeah.
Which is very generous of them, and I think this is a wonderful initiative, and it's a great way of giving emerging artists a blank canvas, if you will.
Yeah, that was the whole thought behind it, was let's throw our wall open to entrants. So we've put the call out to ask people from Melbourne who are emerging artists for them to come up with their best idea. We're not looking for a food and wine themed mural. We just want someone to say, this is what I want to put on the wall. They get it up there for 2 years and there's $9,000 worth of prizes. So,
geez, you can't go wrong with that. Now, the winner, obviously, you talked about emerging artists.
Yes.
So let's, you're using the Australian Council for the Arts definition of an emerging artist. What is an emerging artist?
Look, I think for us, we wanted somebody that had not yet reached a huge audience. So we were looking for people that wanted to make their mark. I suppose a simple definition is they haven't had a solo professional exhibition.
Excepting, of course, if they've done something at college
and certainly
had to do a solo exhibition.
I'd expect that a lot of the entrants that we've been seeing will have already been exhibited, but not really for that standalone professional exhibition.
Sure. So. And given it's such an interesting premise, how does somebody say, well, you know, this is my style of work, this is what I can imagine I would put on a 2.5 by 3 meter wall space?
Certainly.
I mean, that's a great big space. How do you determine who's going to be the right artist? Do they need to send you something they've already done?
Well, we've had quite a few entrants. There is a lot of detail and a lot of information on our website. So if people are interested, they can go to uniondining.com.au and click
on /2-years-on-the-wall.
Or if you don't want to remember all of that, you can just click on the button.
Yes.
And there's a lot of detail about, what we're looking for, but there is a field where they can send through a PDF of a suggested work or works that they've already done.
So they'd like to replicate on this great, huge 2.5 by 3 meter canvas, which is a massive size. And what sort of visual is there for the public to see once this art is up?
Look, I guess it's in a very public space. It's on our outdoor terrace. So our terrace is open Tuesday to Sunday of an evening, so it's a space where people can go and have a drink or eat something as well as have a drink. Yeah, so I guess it's an outdoor area that sees some pretty good patronage.
Excellent. We're going to talk more with Adam about this this wonderful 2 years on the wall opportunity, because entries close now on the 19th of August.
They do. So they've still got 2 weeks.
Over a couple of weeks to get your entry in, because it is a wonderful opportunity to be able to showcase your work. We're going to have some messages. We'll have a little bit of a tune and we'll come back and we'll chat to Katrina Myers about avocados being delivered right to your front door here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. 0427 Joy 949. Send Adam and myself an SMS. You can email onair@joy.org.au, or you can do things the very newfangled way, send a tweet to cravings_joy949, or if you want to do things the old-fashioned way, give Mushin a call, 1-300-569-949. That's 1-300-JOY-949. He will answer the phone at the front desk and very politely have a chat with you. It's 13 minutes past one.
Hi, this is Guy Grossi and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
We were going to play a little track there for you, but there is no need, because we are speaking with the very delightful Adam Cashiers here in the studio from Union Dining in Richmond, which itself has a wonderful story, and we'll talk a little bit more about Union as this hour goes along, Adam. But we are talking about 2 years on the wall, this wonderful exhibition sponsored by Tarawarra Estate, $9,000 worth of prizes to an emerging artist who lives in Victoria and has a wonderful space, a 2.5 by 3 meter space on the wall at Union Dining Terrace, to paint their winning mural and have it displayed for 2 years. I wonder if anybody might paint a nice big picture, Adam, of an avocado.
They may indeed.
They may indeed, because avocados are another one of our discussion points today. And I was very surprised to learn that avocados not only grow in winter, but they grow just over the pond in southern New South Wales in a place called Barham, which has, amongst other other things, a wonderful golf course. To talk us through Byram Avocados and how you can have them delivered right to your front door is the very fabulous Katrina Myers from Byram Avocados. Hello, my dear.
Hi, how are you going, Pete?
Good, thank you. Say hello to Adam.
Hello, Adam. How are you?
Hi there, very well.
Because Adam will probably ask questions during this discussion as well.
Fabulous.
I didn't know that avocados grew this far south, number one.
Yes, well, that a lot of people are quite surprised by that, actually, I think. Yeah, but there are a few, we're the only ones in our area, but there's a few also, quite a lot now around Mildura and Robinvale, and there's also some on the Mornington Peninsula.
Beautiful Mildura area home. Yes. Great people come out of Mildura, they do. let's very briefly give people a quick lesson in geography. Byram is where?
Barham is, well, I guess...
Oh, sorry, you call it Barham.
Yes, Barham, yes. Yes.
Right.
Lots of people say Barham, but yes, it's Barham.
Right.
The best way to explain it probably is it's in between Echuca and Swan Hill, right on the Murray River.
It's a lovely spot.
It is beautiful. It's a lovely part of the world.
And there is a nice big golf course there as well, which is well regarded as a very good course.
It is, yes. Most people would say, oh, yes, I've played golf up there from Barham. So, yeah, very well renowned.
So it's quite a warm climate? Would you, is it subtropical? Is it temperate? What would you call the climate of Barham?
Temperate, yeah. No, it's not. It is warm, like compared to Melbourne. We have much warmer summer.
I love anything's warm compared to Melbourne at the minute. We're all freezing our tush off.
Yeah, exactly. But it's slightly cooler than Mildura. We have, Mildura are normally a couple of degrees warmer than us. But, and we do have some frost over winter, which we have to compensate for with the avocados. So, yeah, it's a warmer climate than Melbourne, that's for sure. I'd say temperate, definitely not subtropical.
how do avocados react to frost? Because they're not...
Terribly. They hate frost. So we have to actually have frost fans, which are big. They're like a helicopter blade on the end of a big tall post, basically, and they circulate the air, stop the air settling on the tree. So we did actually get some frost damage this year, even with the fans. So, yeah, they're very susceptible to frost.
Can you plug those stands in? Now, this is a very stupid question, and you can shoot it down.
There is no stupid question, Pete.
Can you plug those machines in whilst they're doing that for the frost and actually generate your own power from them, as if they're like a wind turbine?
I don't know. That would be cool if you could. I don't think they're quite big enough to actually generate power.
You know, people walking across a bridge can generate power.
Well, then maybe we can. That's something we should definitely look into.
It's all very sustainable, and they could be run by solar as well, couldn't they?
Yeah, we've been looking into solar actually, but it's like exorbitantly expensive at this stage for us. That we want to run the shed on solar power long term. That's the aim.
Wouldn't it be nice if the turbines that keep the frost away run the shed for you,
and it
becomes cross neutral?
That would be so cool.
I should stop being an environmentalist and get back to the bloody point we're talking about.
Avocados, Pete. Avocados.
Yes.
Now, okay, so we've established that you can grow them in this part of the world.
Yep.
I didn't realise also that there was something called a bacon avocado, which to me sounds like a perfection.
Breakfast.
Yeah. and it is a winter avocado.
Yeah, that's right. It's known as a winter variety. So, and they say it's more susceptible to frost. That's how it's kind of promoted. But it's not very common. You won't see bacon in the supermarkets or anything like that as such. But, yeah, it's promoted as a winter variety. It's still susceptible to frost, but not as susceptible, I guess. So that's why we planted some. That's one of the first ones that Mum and Dad planted years ago.
Mm.
And so we've only got about 10 trees of those that we have. Yeah, and they come on earlier in the season.
So what do they look like? Obviously,
well,
a green thing.
They're slightly bigger than a Haas avocado, and they're smooth skin. That's probably the most identifying factor, I guess, is that they have a much smoother skin. They're very bright green.
Not that crinkly skin like mine. Let's take a step back again, because there are a huge variety now of avocados. I know there's the Haas, there's the Fuerte, is there a Charvel?
Sure. Shepherd, maybe thinking of Shepherd. I don't know the Charvel one, but we have about six varieties. We have some Gwen, Wurtz, Haas, Reed, Bacon, Fuerte. So they're but really, I mean, the Gwen and the Bacon and the Wurtz, we just have a small amount of those. Mm,
and the Haas is the common one we would see
yes.
most frequently.
Exactly, but our favourites are the Reed avocados.
What's special about the reed? Have they got a higher fat content or something?
They have a higher oil content, yeah. So, and they can't grow them very well in Queensland, so they're our little thing because we have a longer growing season, so we can specialise in those, and they're just beautiful. Everyone we give them to just loves them. They're like a big emu egg, basically, and they're very creamy and delicious.
Oh, see?
Fat equals flavour.
Yeah, well, exactly. But it's good fat, so that's a good thing.
Well, it wasn't that long ago that I had a discussion with a nutritionist on the show here. She's a dietitian nutritionist, Emma Sterling. And we talked about fat and the body's need for fat.
Yep.
And particularly monounsaturated fats, which are found in avocados, which are good for your cholesterol.
Yeah, absolutely. They're very good for cholesterol. Lots of health experts recommend avocados now, and they say, you know, one a day even is really, really good for you.
My problem is what I put with the avocado, which is always the concern. So a great on a, you know, a cracker, and they're always really good used in place of butter.
Exactly, yeah. That's what I always use them just instead of butter in a sandwich, you know, and that's, I guess, where they become even more. I mean, butter's actually not that bad either. It's had a bad rap too.
But
yeah, so yes, you can definitely use it in place of butter or margarine, and it's, delicious.
Now, there's a little thing in today's insert, the Life and Style insert in the Age.
Yes.
I think there's five or six judge the best butters. There's Pepe Sayer, who comes out of Sydney. There are the fabulous mother and daughter team, the Ingletons in Myrtleford,
which is the butter we use at Union Dining.
And it's beautiful butter.
It is cultured and it's amazing.
We had our third anniversary of the show back in June, and Naomi was in and she bought me truffle butter and salted butter and unsalted butter. And my other half actually got a bit annoyed because he went back to work and did a weigh-in in a competition and
gone up 3 kilos.
Well, no,
I thought you were going to say you didn't give him any.
No, he said to me I had too much butter. And so, because I love butter. I was brought up one of those kids, you know, it's butter on everything.
Yeah.
And not spread, but smeared about half inch thick.
Yum.
I love butter. Anywho, back to what we were talking about. So we can use the avocados in place of butter. And we're also talking about the nutritional benefits of that. And look, it's been one of those things like butter over the years where science has said, avocados are good, no avocados are bad. Butter is good, no butter is bad.
Yep.
Are avocados good or bad at the minute?
They're really good at the
minute.
They're
good.
Yeah, very good. I was actually, my friend who's a school teacher said that they had a conference call with Michael Cargreg the other day, who's a
parental, nutritionist.
He was saying it's one of the top five foods that children should eat, so I thought that was pretty good.
Fantastic.
It's definitely on the good at the moment. Anyway, so hopefully it stays there, Pete.
Excellent. We are speaking to Katrina Meyer. She's from Barham Avocados. Barham Avocados. Barham Avocados.
Very good.
See, it's because I was saying avocado that I need to say Barham.
Yes.
From Barham Avocados up on the Murray River. And she's talking through not just the benefits of those lovely avocados, but we can now have them home delivered. Because we have our milk delivered and we have our bread delivered and we have all that sort of fruit and vegetables delivered if you so choose. Now you can have these beautiful avocados delivered to your front door.
Yes, that's correct. We actually trialled it last year, our online shop, and this year we've sort of gone into full swing with it and it's going really well. So you can just get on our website and we've got a little shop and you just buy them and they get posted through Australia Post and delivered to your door. And so far it's going well. So, yeah, it's exciting actually. We've had a really good response to it. Everyone seems, you know, thrilled to be able to have them delivered to them. So, yeah.
Well, I guess my thought on that idea is that like a lot of stuff we talk about here on Cravings, the provenance of food and all of that, you can understand or know that the avocados have been picked by your pickers, put into a box and sent to you. So you're well aware of the handling process, which, you know, can prevent bruising.
Mm-hmm.
My only question around that is they come through Australia Post?
Yes.
So My postie is known for tossing boxes about a little bit.
Yes, well, we actually post them out hard green. So most of the time the supermarkets have to have the avocados ripe and ready to eat because everyone wants to eat them that night for dinner. So what we do is avocados don't actually ripe until you pick them. So we pick them and post them straight out hard green, and that way they don't actually bruise. They've done all this research to say that they don't actually bruise until they're, you know, well on the way to being ripe. It's a bit of education for our customers as well to learn how to manage their avocados once they receive them because they're not going to be ripe for 7 to 10 days once you receive them.
So that was my next question. How long do they take to ripen once off the tree?
7 to 10 days, we normally say. So you just got to keep an eye on them. But, you know, 7 to 10 days is the average.
Some tricks. If you would like the avocados to ripen slower,
yes,
put them in the fridge.
Exactly, yeah. So I guess one of the things, like, we don't really use that much cold storage, but the thing is, I think a lot of the time the supermarkets have been, they've been in cold storage for months, and that's why if you then put them in the fridge again, they're ruined. But with ours, because they're so fresh and they come to you so fresh, you can put them in the fridge and that slows down the ripening process.
Right, and if we need them to ripen quicker, so they're 7 to 10 days, if you want them to ripen quicker, some of the tricks now, you actually trumpet that you put them in a brown paper bag with a banana.
Yes, you can do that. Mm. That is, I wouldn't say it's foolproof, but sometimes it works. I think it depends on it, because the ethylene in the banana is a ripening agent.
Right.
And so that can, yeah, and people do have great success with that. I think the temperature is probably the biggest thing. If you put them in a really warm, humid room, they'll ripen much faster.
What about citrus?
Well, I don't think, do they have ethylene in them? I'm not sure.
I don't know, but I've always found that citrus,
yeah,
lemons in a fruit bowl with any fruit,
yep,
make them ripen and go off much quicker.
Oh, okay. Well, they must have something in them that's doing something.
They must. And you said apples.
Apples, yeah, because they also have the ethylene in them. But bananas is the most commonly known one that most people use, is the banana in the brown paper bag, yeah.
Now, my next question, if an avocado has parts of it that are soft and parts of it that still feel a bit firm,
yep,
is that ripe or not?
Not with the bacon. We find with the bacon they've got to be very soft all over. So if there's one hard bit still, don't cut into it, wait longer. With the Haas, they're a bit more flexible, but, yeah, it's better to have them soft all over. And that's the beauty of having them delivered from us, is that you can test them yourself a bit more without damaging them. The ones in the supermarket have been tested by 100 different people. Yeah,
look, so we don't care for any fruit and vegetables coming out of
Secondhand
our supermarket at all.
Fondled.
No.
Yes.
Right.
And just a final question. I've discovered that if you cut an avocado and you only need half of it for a sandwich, that if you leave the nut in the other half,
mm-hmm,
put that into a snap-lock bag, that will stop the browning process.
It slows it down, definitely, yeah. Or just, yeah, wrap them in a bit of Glad wrap. But, yes, definitely leave the seed in. We find that works really well, yeah. And then pop it in the fridge. And it'll still go brown. But what you can do is even just scrape. You find if you just scrape the top layer off, it's still nice underneath.
It's beautiful, yes.
Yeah.
Somebody taught me that trick once. And
yep.
What about those silly things you buy in the food cooking shops and all of that, that look like an avocado and you can buy them for onions and tomatoes and you put them in
the
your fridge?
Yeah, the avocado saver or something they're called, aren't they? I haven't really trialled those, but yeah, glad.
I don't think it works.
No, glad wrap or a plastic bag works.
Yeah, well, I have an obsession with the snap-lock bag, and I find that keeps everything fresh, cheeses, all sorts of things. So, that would be my suggestion. Katrina, a delight to talk to you.
Oh, it was lovely to talk to you too, Pete. Thanks so much for having me on.
It's my pleasure. I trust you're enjoying the warm weather up there on the river, because it's actually sunny here in Melbourne. People are probably about driving in their cars on their way to markets rather than supermarkets. We do encourage them to get in touch. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Pete.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye.
That's the lovely Katrina Myers. Isn't she a delight, Adam Cash?
She was fantastic.
She is. 0427JOY949. Tell us what you like or do not about avocados. Do you buy them? Would you? Oh, we didn't give her a plug. Not that we should be giving plugs, but if you go to barhamavocados.com.au, you will find their online store, so you can order your avocados and know that they will come to you straight from the tree, really.
Mm.
It's a great way to do it. 0427JOY949 is the SMS. You can email onair@joy.org.au, send a tweet to cravings_joy949, or do call 1300JOY949 and tell us your love of avocados or not, what you do with them. Please try and keep it nice. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9. It's 28 minutes past one.
Joy 94.9.
Ah, that was a terrific little track, and it's a new track by some girls called Simone and Garfunkel. I like it. I quite do. And that is called Blown Into the Wind. This is Cravings. It is now 27 minutes to 2. I'm Pete Dillon. I'll be taking you through until 2 o'clock when those lovely strapping young lads from Fender Bender come waltzing in and banging on about cars and things, because that's what they do. Terrific show. Join them from 2 o'clock. Now, news this week. Oh, sorry, Adam Cash is in the studio. He's my wonderful guest from the fabulous Union Dining and Terrace in Richmond. What's the address of that venue, Adam?
270 Swan Street.
In a beautiful old building that once was...
So Union House. It was built as a hotel, 1871.
And it's served all sorts of purposes, some of them shady, I believe.
There was an SP bookie out the back. That's the one that was confirmed. Yeah, Richmond Historical Society has lots of information.
Well, the gentleman who I'm sure might need the help of an SP booking to pay an unnecessary bill is the fabulous Sean Kearse from Ludlow. Sean, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you, gentlemen?
Very well, thanks, mate. And you?
Yes, good, thank you.
Now, the reason I wanted to talk to you, Mr. Kearse, is because you own Ludlow Gravel and in Pran and Ludlow Gertrude in Fitzroy. Very recently, you received a bill that was just short of $6,000.
Ouch.
For playing a bit of music in the restaurant. Talk us through what's happened here, Sean.
Well, we represent record companies.
Yes.
And they charge a licensing fee to play music in a public environment.
What sort of music do you play in those venues? Let's just start there.
So we play a variety of music, but we mainly try and play some Italian-influenced jazz and other artists as well. Fairly contemporary music.
Yes.
And some old classics as well, a bit of James Brown and people like that.
Yep.
PBCA have been trying to, well, they're charging restaurants and other venues, clubs, hotels.
Let's just pop back to the PBCA. They are the, what are they called, the phonographic something-something?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure what the exact initials represent. But, the phonographic, yes. Sorry, I'm...
No, that's all right. And they are responsible for the management, I guess, of the way people play music in their venues and who owns the rights to the music.
Yeah, so they actually charge a licensing fee, and the licensing fee is based on, for restaurants, it's based on the amount of people that you have, the hours you're open, and the average cost of a main course as such, and the money is supposed to go to the recording artists themselves, they've worked out a formula which they believe is fair for restaurants.
I guess what surprises me about this is something that's mentioned in this discussion that I read, thanks to the courtesy of Hilary McNevin in Espresso in The Age this week. The Phonographic Performance Company of Australia is the PPCA, and APRA, who are the Australian Performing Rights Association. The disturbing thing is, a couple of years ago you got a little bill and then nothing, and all of a sudden they've hit you with $6,000. I think that's the bigger concern for me in this discussion, is that all of a sudden, out of nowhere, $6,000 for a small business is an incredible amount of money.
Yeah, it is an incredible amount of money, and... I think the qualm that we have, and we're more than happy to pay licensing fees.
Yep.
If you look at APRA, I think our charge for each venue is about $300 a year for each venue. So that's a total of $600, which we're totally fine with that. That has not increased in the 9 years that we've been open as a restaurant. However, PPCA now are concerned for their artists that we've internet, music,
and the increase of piracy and all of that, yes,
and whatnot. And we legitimately buy music. We have all the CD cases for all the iTunes receipts of all the music that we have purchased, and so we are now having to pay to play that music as well publicly.
You're basically paying twice.
Yeah, we are basically paying twice. However, the main qualm that we do have is that a bar will get charged something like $200 a year.
Well, and also a hairdressing salon, I think, was the other thing mentioned in the article. And I think, again, my concern here is this is disproportionate charging, because the music in a hairdressing salon usually louder.
Yes.
I've been known to sit there with a bit of foil on my head and tap along to something in a salon, whereas I tend not to notice the music in a dining establishment as much.
No, well, when you're in a busy environment, the music is there for a background atmosphere. People would normally go out for dinner to converse and chat with each other. So the music's too
unless
loud,
you've been married for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's just a way to go out and escape sitting at home and not speaking. Where there's food and wine.
I've never seen a table like that, Pete. I don't know why you'd say that. Never, ever.
I have been around this business for nearly 30 years, and let me tell you, I've seen it a lot. Anyway, I want to bring you in here because obviously this affects you as well.
It does.
Have you guys had a bill similar to this? Or is this just...
Yes. No, no. We pay APRA, we pay PPCA. I guess for me, the discrepancy between what a restaurant pays and what a bar pays is staggering. When you, as Sean said, often music in a restaurant is to provide a small amount of background atmosphere, whereas in a bar where they're paying less money, music is often a lot more of a driver for the atmosphere. Whereas I think in a restaurant, it's about the service. It's about the physical attributes of the room that you're sitting in. It's about the food that you're eating. And I think often music can put a bit of a stamp on the character or the personality of that dining room.
Well, absolutely.
But it's incidental.
If you're belting out the music of a mariachi band as compared to some light jazz...
It does create a very different feel.
Absolutely. Sean, is there an opportunity for you to question this with the PPCA and actually negotiate some sort of terms with them, or is this just sort of out of the blue, here's a $6,000 bill?
Well, look, it's pretty much a closed door. We have tried to negotiate with them over a period of 6 to 12 months. And as a lot of other venues have, there's a test case where I think it was Fernwood Gyms tried to sue PBCA for this. They lost and were fined. And so Fern would have gone off and paid for their own recording artists to actually produce music for them.
Well, I know that you can purchase music. You can purchase CDs of music, which are used a lot in radio, of all things, which provide background music that don't have, they're created specifically for ambient music rather than created for music that you're going to sing and dance to.
There's no associated licensing costs.
There are other avenues that we can go down that line and purchase music that is not from record companies that aren't represented by PPCA, and that's something that we'll be looking at, which is a pity because you want to support the artists by buying their music, and by buying their music and then playing it in the restaurant as well, you are supporting the artist, with applications like for your iPhone or your smartphone, like. Mm-hmm. People copy them and go, oh, what's that track? And they shazam it and they go and buy it themselves or download it or whatever they do.
Absolutely.
The biggest qualm is the inequity in the hospitality industry between what PPCA think that we are making money, that restaurants are making extra money out of us playing music as such.
Where in actual fact you're paying and you're not making money at all, and one wonders how you can make money out of having some background music, Adam.
I would love to see the formula, and I will make some money out of it if it's there.
Because you're a capitalist. Sean, look, thank you. I appreciate your time today, and it's unfortunate this has happened because what it does is creates another barrier for people creating a dining experience, and if music should be a part of that, always has been.
It always has been, absolutely.
And should remain so. Adam was talking just before about... there used to be an SP bookie in the back of the venue that is now Union Dining. Perhaps you could pop one out the back of the restaurant and make your $6,000 on betting on the dogs or something.
make the $6,000 of that, and then we'd be more than happy to pay.
Beautiful. And very quickly, you're a great supporter of charity. You're currently do you still do your Monday BYO event?
Yes, both at Ludrow Gertrude and Ludrow Greville on Monday night. We have a $5 BYO event. The full $5 we collect from your BYO goes directly to either the Pran Mission in Greville Street or Vinnie's Vannies in Gertrude Street.
Beautiful. So let's just bring a bottle of wine that you like. You'll pay $5 in corkage, and that $5 goes to those charities in those venues. Congratulations, mate.
lovely to talk to you, and we'll catch up with you soon, I'm sure.
Excellent. Good on you, Sean. That's Sean Kias. He's from Largo. Adam, this is a frightening situation. We'll talk about a bit more when we come back. It is 17 minutes to 2. Time for some messages here on Cravings on Joy 94.9.
Download Joy's free iPhone app, joy.org.au.
Oh, that was the very gorgeous Claire Bowditch with a new song for her, which is called, if I can find the CD cover, it's called Thin Skin. Beautiful, beautiful song from the lovely Claire Bowditch from the album Winter I Chose Happiness, which is out in September. So that's a little taste.
A positive note for all of us. Yes, winter, indeed. I Chose Happiness.
Yes, the
us
winter
too.
I Chose, yeah. Happiness. And of course, this is Cravings here on Joy 94.9. 11 minutes to 2. Fender Bender up with you shortly. It's a very balmy 16 degrees here in Melbourne already, and it's nice to see the sun out. And, you know, when the sun shines, people get fabulous, and there's no more fabulous woman than the very gorgeous Philippa Sibley. Good afternoon, my love.
Hello, darling.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm at Casa Chucho, Matt McConnell's new place in Gertrude Street. It's awesome.
Oh, I thought you'd be working.
No, not yet.
No. You make it
silly.
Sound like you never work.
Actually, Saturday's my day off.
Oh, there you go.
Well, my only day off.
We've got you on the day off. And it's your day off from where?
From Albert Street in Lyme.
Beautiful. In Brunswick?
In Sydney Road, Brunswick. Corner, yes. Of Albert Street.
Now, it's been open for a while
like
now.
We like to state the obvious. That's why we called it Albert Street Food and Wine.
Beautiful. Excellent. Now, it's been, how long have we been open? 6 months?
We opened on the 9th of December.
Oh, it's longer than 6 months.
Yeah, it's nearly 9.
Mm. Good Lord, the time's just flying by. We're getting older by the second. no, we're getting better by the second, I should say. Now, listen, you're taking part in a little something I noticed, the Culinary Charity Challenge on the 17th of August, Sydney versus Melbourne. Now, it's happening at Crown?
Yes, it is. I'm trying to block it from my psyche at the moment. It's really making me nervous.
Philippa returns to Crown.
Is that cashy?
Sorry, yes, it is.
Yes, it is cashy. You can hear it.
I take
background.
It back, Philippa. I'm really sorry.
So this is this imitates the International Bocuse d'Or, which is where two celebrity chefs and a pastry chef get together and have a bit of a competition. Now, Peter Gilmore, captaining from Key in Sydney, captaining the Sydney team with Justin North, Ross Lusted, and Katrina Canatani.
Yeah, I know. I'm really worried.
Well, I don't think you should
be
worried.
I think we've got a pretty amazing team.
Well, I was about to reel that off. You're captained by Andrew McConnell.
Yes.
It says here he's from Cutler & Co. We also know he's from Cumulus Inc. He's also from, with Josh.
The Builder's Arms.
The Builder's Arms, yeah. And Moon Underwater, Moon Overwater.
He's a tart genius.
He is a genius, but he's a nice genius, isn't
he? Yes, he's got the Midas touch.
He has. There's also the very, very lovely Ben Shuri, who we respect very highly and we love a lot. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Speaking of loving a lot and respecting highly, Philippe Michel from PM24.
Yes.
And your good self.
What's not to love? I know.
What a kick-ass team. Sydney do not stand a bloody chance in this, my dear.
Oh, man.
And it's.
Well, I have to do something with chocolate.
Yes.
In 45 minutes.
Can I give you a hint?
Yes.
Because you know nothing and I know everything, of course. Chocolate and bacon.
You know, I just did a MasterChef All Stars Challenge, which is airing tomorrow night.
Right, nice plug,
and
beautiful.
And it was, yep, and it was, the choice was either bacon or egg.
Yes.
And thank God they went with egg.
Oh.
Seriously.
No, chocolate bacon. I was at a dinner a little while ago now, and every course had pig, and there was bacon in the dessert, apart from the fact that they made a blood pudding ice cream.
Yeah.
There was a dish that was... Sorry?
There's generally lots of yummy spices in blood pudding.
Mm. Well, you make an ice cream out of the blood of the pig. Beautiful stuff, beautiful. Now, the other thing was it was the cheese course, and it was a whipped, soft, stinky French number. It's like a washed rind cheese that had been whipped, made into a parfait, and served with almost like little mapled lardons, little bits of bacon. It was absolutely spectacular.
Yum, sounds delicious.
Yeah, that was
I've done desserts with bacon before.
Mm-hmm.
But chocolate... The thing with chocolate is that it needs to be either cooked or set or melted or
something.
45 minutes. It's not really conducive to, well, it is for mental health, I suppose. I'm not I might need to partake in a show bag afterwards.
Grab a goodie bag on your way out the door. Because it is for the
Are these Smarties?
Oh, nice one. It's for the Mental Health Research Institute of Australia.
It is an awesome, it's a fantastic idea and I'm really happy to be a part of it. But I am nervous.
I don't think you should be. I think if I was to, it's like, you might remember Family Feud on the television.
Yes. No,
that was perfect match, love. No, Family Feud, where all the families, you know, one family against the other, and there's, this is my Auntie Mavis, this is my cousin Bernadette, and, you know, my brother, whomever. So I can just see Andrew McConnell, this is my mate Ben Sherry, this is my mate Philippe Michel, and this is the very gorgeous Philippa Sibley.
Yep.
And I look, seriously, I don't think, okay, Gilmore's got a bit of a reputation, so does Justin North. I think you'll be wandering all over them in a heartbeat, my love.
Well, you know what we can do is sing and dance. You know, it'll be Melbourne the musical.
Oh, I like it. And
the Kickline chorus.
And I think there should be a food fight involved.
I think there should, some throwing of chocolate. And look, you know what? If you can't dazzle them with brilliance, you baffle them with bullshit.
Baffle them with bullshit. I know, darling.
So a bit of singing and dancing and distract the attention away from, you know, a moose that's not quite right. Nobody be any the wiser.
No. Can I tell you a joke?
Yes, go on. As long as it's clean.
I'm sitting here and it's so clean. I'm surrounded by donkeys. This place is named after donkeys, so it just reminded me of
yes.
the joke. What cheese do you use to hide a small horse?
What
cheese do you use to hide a small horse?
No.
Mascarpone.
Brilliant. Ding, ding, and there, ladies and gentlemen, she's here all week. Try the veal. The fabulous Philippa Sibley. Tickets are $500 for this event. You can call 1-300-737-363 to book, or you can go to mhri.edu.au and click on the link and book online. Philippa, thank you, and we'll have you back in the studio very shortly, my dear.
Thanks, Pete. See you,
Cashy.
Bye. She is lovely. That is the very gorgeous Philippa Sibley. We'll take a couple of brief messages and we shall return momentarily to, well, as they say in the classics, wrap this baby up. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
This is Joy 94.9. There are merely 2.5 minutes left to go, Adam Cash, of this program before I take off and jet off to the warm climes of Thailand, a little island in the middle of the Andaman
Rub it
Sea.
In.
I am rubbing it in because I believe it's a much earned holiday. So let's go back to 2 years on the wall. So the Biennial Art Prize, which is at Union Dining. Again, let's tell people how they can get involved, because I'm sure there's a lot of emerging artists who are listening going, oh, I want to do that.
That could be me. Yes. We have a beautiful outdoor space. So there's a 2.5 by 3 metre wall. We're asking emerging artists to send us a submission, and there's $9,000 in prizes for them to
And that $9,000 in prizes includes
$7,500 cash.
$7,500 cash, that'd be nice. And a dinner to be held at Union Dining to the value of $1,500.
So the artist and their 9 closest friends.
Or 9 hangers-on, depends
exactly.
Who they are.
The art crowd never has a hanger-on.
No,
they have supporters.
Don't. Indeed. And, of course, the winning artwork displayed on the wall for 2 years, which is, there's no greater advertisement. People see it every day and go, oh, my God, who did that?
Who did
that's
that?
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
So that's beautiful. Adam, thank you so much for coming in and playing with me here on The Wireless. I won't be here next week. The very fabulous Hilary McNevin will be sitting in this chair next Saturday at 1 o'clock, and she will steer you through a wonderful hour of programming. In 2 weeks' time, there won't be a Cravings. There'll actually be something very special coming to the radio station for a one time only. I'm not sure if it's public or not, so I won't talk too much about it. But a very, very large and influential organisation in this great city of ours, great country of ours, will be doing a bit of a co-production here with the team at Joy. So stand by for that. Hilary's then back on the 25th of August to take you through another programme. And I return to my chair on the 1st of September. I can already tell you that Philippe Michel and Pierre-Éric Boyer will be in to talk about an Alzheimer's dinner. But it will be a fabulous hour of the French, which will be very lovely.
Very French.
Very French. Indeed. And then the week later, I have another couple of very well-known chefs, Perry Schragen, who was at Taxi Dining Room now at the Graham, and a fellow by the name people might have heard of, Sean Presland. I believe he's very talented. You may have seen him on the MasterChef as well. He is a sushi and sashimi master. Unusual for a white boy, but there you go. He will be with me on the 8th of September. So lots coming up on Cravings. I shall see you on my return. Until then, keep yourselves nice. Keep yourself well. This has been... Cravings on Joy 94.9. I have been Pete Dillon. Good afternoon.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.